let's say you're an American, and let's say you therefore get most of your information from TV. You've long had two ways to form your understanding of inside Washington, D.C.
Cloture motion. We, the undersigned senators, in accordance with the provisions of Rule
C-SPAN, viewed by dozens of Americans each day, or there was this.
Are you all right, Mr. President?
No one was hurt. Someone shot at the press room from the sidewalk.
Well, not so full of yourself when you're not surrounded by your cronies, are you, Congressman?
Last 10 days, 8 blondes have been abducted in Washington from this area. What do you make of that?
Well, it's either a conspiracy or some guy's got a pretty weird hobby.
West Wing, Murphy Brown, Get Smart, just a few examples of how, ever since the invention of TV, Washington has served as an entertainment setting, reflecting our abiding interest in pretend law enforcement, pretend intelligence gathering, pretend politics, and pretend governance. But things have changed. These days, viewers aren't just sporadically consuming Washington Fair, but binging on House of Cards, Alpha House, Veep, Scandal, and an even dozen other shows currently set in the district or its environs. Because, as it turns out, not only does the lifeblood of democracy flow through this city, TV-wise, it is O-negative blood. The universal donor.
You can have comedy, you can have satire, you can have a thriller.
Bo Willimon, low-level Democratic apparatchik turned writer, is the creator and executive producer of House of Cards.
Because there are so many different types of stories to be told in D.C., and because the stakes are so high, it sort of lends itself to a whole range of possibilities.
Such as, for instance, the genre of omniscient, omnipotent intelligence and security agencies with the ability to get a satellite image of a terrorist on a big screen in 4 seconds with only 6 employees, like Homeland, Covert Affairs, or NBC's The Blacklist.
After Rifkin was caught, Cooper had him flown from Bagram to Andrews Air Force Base in Virginia. And there, a prison transport took them to a federal holding facility in Alexandria.
Andrews Air Force Base and Alexandria. How very Beltway. Not to be confused with Inside the Beltway, the arcane geography of official Washington that is a genre unto itself. We are now awash in programs devoted ostensibly to how Washington works. It works cynically, it seems, whether portrayed in comedies like Amazon Prime's Alpha House.
There's a reason why half of all Americans in Afghanistan are private contractors. Because they get the job done cheaper and more efficiently than the military. And Carthage Security Systems is the gold standard of private security.
Hey, isn't Carthage one of your biggest contributors?
Gee, you think?
Or the West Wing meets Macbeth sensation, House of Cards.
Trust me or not, but I'm about to be confirmed as the vice president, and our relationship extends to the Oval Office now. Don't step out of the sunlight for no reason.
That's Kevin Spacey as vice president-designate Frank Underwood, moments before doing something very, very evil to a reporter played by Kate Mara. I'll say this in code for spoiler alert's sake. Underwood submitted to the impulse felt by many a politician by ushing Pei the E. Porter Ray in front of the moving Metro AIN tray.
I want to believe you, Francis. No, you...
It's ludicrous, of course. Vice presidents never take the subway. But this Netflix original melodrama about duplicity, corruption, and ruthless grasping for power has taken hold. Because the spot-on details of legislative procedure, political horse trading, and underlying ruthlessness feel so real. Bo Willimon.
Very few politicians, arguably none, operate with the extremes to which Francis Underwood operates. But I do think that there's elements, a lust for power, choices that politicians are making all the time that force them to confront their own ethical boundaries that are a fabric of Washington. I think that collectively all of the 16 shows out there might begin to paint a cumulative portrait of Washington.
The version of Washington that exists on the majority of television shows bears almost no relation to the actual gridlocked place where theoretical governing actually gets done.
Andy Greenwald has written about D.C.-based TV for the website Grantland.
What we instead see is a sort of a Roman Colosseum full of schemers in suits backstabbing and front-stabbing their way to power.
The Grand Opera is fetching, he says, but false. While Spacey, as the House Democratic whip wrangling votes, has some procedural verisimilitude, and his moral bankruptcy plays to our worst suspicions, for the ring of truth, Greenwald prefers Julia Louis-Dreyfus's HBO comedy, Veep.
POTUS is anxious after recent events that you don't feel he's trying to nudge you out of the process of government.
Oh, isn't that thoughtful, Amy?
So he would like you to head up a program that is very important and very dear to his heart.
No, 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 no. You do not do this to me. Do not say that it is obesity. Do not say that to me.
It's obesity.
No.
I'm sorry, ma'am, but you have drawn the fat straw.
Sad sack. People with giant egos and lanyards hanging around their necks and bad pleated pants. It demystifies it in a way that I think some people might find ultimately more depressing than the story of a backroom whip who tramples over the Constitution.
Grant Land's Andy Greenwald. Armando Iannucci, creator of Veep, was indeed struck by the grinding glamorlessness within the palaces of power.
The West Wing is just a warren of tiny, tiny rooms, and they cram as many people as possible into these tiny rooms. So a table that is room enough for three or four computer monitors actually has seven or eight of them on, and people crammed up. And very respectable, powerful-looking middle-aged men in suits sitting rumpled up on spare sofas and seats in corridors because there isn't a desk for them.
So, yes, it rings very true. On the other hand, the conflict is so mundane compared to Scandal, where crisis management team member Quinn Perkins is really Lindsay Dwyer, who either did or did not kill her boyfriend and five others with a bomb before being kidnapped and having her identity forcibly changed.
I ran her prints. Don't worry, I did it myself, which is a good thing, because otherwise there'd be about half a dozen U.S. agencies looking for her.
And why not? In a real world where citizens accept mythical death panels and Kenyan moles in the Oval Office, where precisely should we suspend disbelief? Veep's Armando Iannucci.
I think people feel frustrated. They feel that they're not being heard. In the news and in current affairs, there is a vacuum because politics isn't progressing. And in that vacuum, you know, come idiots like me and comedians and dramatists and turn it into entertainment. It's our attempt to try and make some kind of sense over what we see is happening on the national political stage. Sense or nonsense.
The question is, do artists use politics as a prism for refracting our human selves? Or is it merely an exercise in allowing myth to fill in the yawning gaps of our understanding? Like ancient stargazers connecting celestial dots to see the gods. I asked Bo Willimon if the sordid goings-on in House of Cards is a proxy for real understanding of the political process.
A proxy for understanding presumes that there is an actual understanding that you can either get right or get wrong. And I don't think that one can pinpoint a clear, definable understanding of Washington and the way it works, just like one can't do the same for the soul.
Good answer, albeit probably besides the point. When it comes to portraying the nation's capital, what matters is not how Washington works, but how television works, namely with noise and spectacle and trumped-up conflict. Always has.
Okay, quickly, quickly.
And he's under a lot of pressure to make these reports.
3 seconds. The CIA fight takes a lot longer to resolve.
What do you say?
It will take so long that there'll be a new administration in power.
That's the McLaughlin Group, just one of many venues where pundits go every week to be wrong. Call it House of Canards. The only difference is how you take your fiction.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.